This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's talk to Jared Swerling of Sports Illustrated about the big day in the NBA. How's it going, Jared?
What's up, man? How you been?
Cool, brother. Hey, so there's a couple things I want to do. First is this Isaiah Thomas guy. So, you know, he at the beginning of the year, they move him to Cleveland, and everybody was talking about, oh, IT, Rose, D-Wade, blah, blah, blah. He's had hip surgery, so we waited the whole year to see him play. Finally plays, let's say, hypothetically 15 games, whatever it was. And, you know, you could say in not so many words that he was cancer for that team. I mean, he questioned the coach the other day. He started the love drama in the locker room that night. And then, I mean, now he gets moved to L.A. How has his reputation taken a hit or not? I think it has.
Well, you know, look, the whole year or the whole last year and a half has been tough for him. Lost his sister in a car accident, gets traded twice. You know, the guy, first of all, was the last pick in the draft in 2010 or 11. So clearly did a very nice job getting back to where he maybe should have been in his career, a standout player, a huge steal. So I give him credit in his career and all the things that he went through in the last year and a half. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the hip injury was tough, and he came back midseason. The fact that he came back the way he did and he tried his heart out to be there for the team. But it was a struggle. You know, it's hard to come back to play alongside LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Kevin Love, all these superstars or star players, and it's hard to blend in with that. It's like just the offensive opportunities are just not always there, and you have to kind of play second, third wheel. He was the number one option in Boston, so the transition was very difficult and different for him. And also, as starting point guard, you know, it's definitely different, too, because now he has to defend the top point guard in the league, and that's the hardest position to guard. That's a very difficult job for him. So, and then offensively, trying to get the team in rhythm. So the pressure was definitely there after the injury. So, you know, to alleviate some of the pressure off him, I see the situation that he came into was very difficult. However, you know, the guy still has to produce, and in L.A. he'll get that chance to see if he can do it in the next 30 games, and maybe he'll stay there in the long term in L.A. So a lot's riding on this guy. You know, he scored 28 points.
And then I wonder if that guy, do you think he'll play past the season, Jared, in Los Angeles? Like, do you think that's what Magic and Pelinka want?
A lot depends on his health. That's the biggest thing. You know, we haven't seen the full Isaiah Thomas yet. We saw what he did in Boston, so expectations are very high for him there. Lonzo Ball is a starting point guard, so very interesting to see how Isaiah plays off him, because Isaiah played the two guard, and, you know, he does what Chris Paul is doing in Houston right now, where James Harden is the focal point of the offense. Chris Paul has become basically a three-point shooter off the ball. Can Isaiah play that role? So the guy is a terrific scorer when he's healthy, so I can't rule out a future there, because I think it's a lot of expectations. He's still pretty young in the prime of his career. The hip injury he came back from, he's not 100% yet. But he just needs a team that can give him more of an option offensively. Like I said, in Cleveland, he was really the third, fourth wheel in many ways. And that's very difficult for a guy who was number one option in Boston. I think he's going to get a bigger opportunity in L.A. for sure.
So Jared Swerling with the Sports Illustrated. Now the Cavs are completely revamped. You add Hill, Hood, Clarkson, Nance to this team. Will LeBron James finally be happy? Is this a good team now, do you think?
Well, they're in win-now mode, obviously. It's LeBron James, the best player in the league. He's the Michael Jordan of this era. So you have to get to the NBA Finals. That's a no-brainer. So that's how they see the situation now. You have four guys that are coming in that are younger. They're going to bring a lot more explosive firepower in transition. They're going to get the points on the board. The question is, can they defend? That's what we didn't see with the Cavaliers. They were one of the worst teams defensively. So that's the most important thing with this team. It does give LeBron some momentum. It gives him some more rest, which is key. You know, LeBron, as you know, the last 8 years, he's played more than 110 games, including the playoffs and NBA Finals. So getting Clarkson up there and Larry Nance and Rodney Hood, who's a fantastic 20 points a game scorer, it'll help LeBron leave some of the pressure that he'll need to really get those legs under him for a long and deep playoff run. So it's win-now mode. The Celtics should be a little worried. They still have continuity. They didn't make any moves, so they still have the same roster from the start of the year, which is very important in the NBA. Same with the Rockets and Warriors. They still have the same team, so continuity is very important. So obviously we'll see how the defense looks in Cleveland and also the continuity, if they can really make a charge here and get some wins under the belt.
Jared, I got to ask you about Dwayne Wade going to the 305 back to Miami. I got to tell you, from the day they got rid of him, I was just vehemently against it. I just thought it was the worst deal that Pat Riley had ever made in his entire career, and I mean it. And the fact that that guy's going back to Miami, I just think, this is just for me personally, I think it's fantastic. I always, you know, I live down there a lot. I love Dwayne Wade. I always have. I thought he was the greatest Heat player ever. And I just think it's great. How do you think it'll play out? Like a year after this, he'll play a year, maybe after this season, at least down there, and they'll let him finish his career with the Heat, basically playing all kinds of different roles on that team, and they're not going to screw him again, are they?
No, he's going to retire in Miami. I'm actually from Miami myself. I was actually covering the Heat in 2003. I went to the first practice with the Heat after he was drafted that year. And I remember that one practice, he had a tip dunk, and everyone looked at each other like, this guy, Dwayne Wade, you know, we knew about him in the NCAA tournament. He had a triple-double against Kentucky. Obviously, Pat Riley played at Kentucky
right. Years
ago. So when Riley saw that triple-double, he knew, I got to get Dwayne Wade. And we didn't really know so much about him. We knew that he was sort of this very versatile player, but he really had his coming-out party that year as a junior at Marquette. So that first practice from there, I saw Wade County embrace him. And I actually interviewed him a lot in Miami. It was really cool to see. It was just how much he embraced the culture of Miami. He got really big into art and lifestyle and fashion. And we went to a lot of different events with him to cover that. And, you know, one thing in Miami, as you know, fans do arrive late. It's a South Beach entertainment crowd. The women are very dressed up. They're ready to go clubbing. So with Wade now back in Miami, we lost some fans at the home game. So now with Wade there, I think you're going to see a bigger spark at home games, which is very important. You know, because the Heat need to make that playoff push. They want to get to that number four spot after the Celtics, Raptors, and Cavs, which is the most likely 1-2-3 in the East. So maybe the Cavs get to that second spot, but the Heat need that four spot. So with Wade back in Miami, they're going to get more of that home court advantage. There's the buzz there. Deion Waiters is not there, but you still have a very well-coached team under Eric Spoelstra, who's now in his 10th year in Miami. So very well-coached team. I think Wade's going to bring a lot of juice to that team, a lot of buzz. Not to mention, he's a good closer. Not the same Dwayne Wade, the Flash, who's going to dunk on you, but he's a very smart player. He's very good in crunch time. So I think it's going to be a very good in close games to help the Heat do their thing in close games.
Yeah, I can't wait. And it starts tomorrow against Milwaukee. I think I'm going to move back to Miami tomorrow. I love going to Heat games. I used to go all the time. And when I lived there, I love them. And I just think it's just fantastic. They screwed up so bad. He was never the same after he left the Heat. He's never been the same. Hopefully he gets his juice back. What did you think of the Moutier deal to the Knicks? He was a big number 7 pick, I think, in the draft at one point.
Yep.
And their team, you know, losing Porzingis is bad enough, but they sucked with him. I mean, and without him, they showed tonight what they're made of. They got whacked in Toronto. We think they should just tank the rest of the way, lose every single game, and try to figure this thing out with a big high lottery pick.
Yeah, Moody, I'm not sure about yet. You know, it's interesting. Out of high school, he was one of the top players in the country, and he didn't go, obviously, to high school. So he had a lot of momentum coming into the draft. You know, when you look at the Nugget situation where he came from, he played alongside Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. You know, there was a lot of guards at that position, so he didn't really get a lot of playing time. He actually went to the bench. He became more of a 6th, 7th man. So we haven't really seen what Moody is really capable of. And not to mention in New York, you have Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Frank Nicolina. So now he's back in a situation where he's playing alongside a lot of point guards and shooting guards. So curious to see how Moody will stand out in the crowd, because I'm not expecting him to come in and start averaging 20 a game. You know, this guy is not a big-time scorer just yet. He's only 21 years old, which is good. He's young. But still, he's in another situation where he's playing alongside a lot of guards. So where is he going to find his niche? Moody is very good in transition. He's obviously very athletic. He's young.
He can hit the three ball off the pick and roll. So he'll bring the Knicks some extra scoring, which is very needed. Defensively, we'll see what he can do. You know, as far as, like you said, the Knicks' future, playoffs to me probably shouldn't be a priority. You know, it's going to be a pretty good draft this year, even into the second round. So the Knicks, it's a sucky situation. KP goes down, tears his ACL. They're now relying on Michael Beasley to be basically one of your top scorers. I mean, Knicks fans must be just going crazy right now. You know, you have KP having an all-star year. He's going to be in the all-star game next week. All this happens. I don't know what to say. The Knicks franchise continues to be – I covered the Knicks for 3 years for ESPN, and it's still looking very bleak, and I hope that Moutier does do something to give the Madison Square Garden some reason to smile, because it's challenging right now, no question.
Well, at least you're at the Garden for NBA games is the way I look at it. I'm going to see the Nets and Pelicans Saturday, and I got the tickets because my – son's a big Boogie fan and Brow fan. Meanwhile, Boogie goes down with an ACL. Now your boy Porzingis goes down with an ACL. I'm not sure there's a reason to go to pro basketball games in the city anymore, but I'm going Saturday to see that crappy game. But hopefully it'll be a good game. I'll bet Brow takes the night off, and then I'll be sitting there with my thumb in my mouth. Hey, Jared, always good having you on the bench, brother. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. I'll catch up with you at a game.
No question. By the way, Boogie tore his Achilles.
Right. Yeah, the Achilles, whatever. I lose track of all the
injuries. Make sure you got that right.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the air. I was on the air the night he did it. I was on the air when he did it.
I'll be there Saturday, too. I'll be there Saturday, too, so I'll catch you.
All right, I'll see you Saturday. That we'll both be miserable together. All right, there he is, Jared, my man, Zwirling from SI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.